Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. The last chapter in the book of Genesis, page 70 in your Scofield Bible. Beginning with the 14th verse, we'll read through verse 21. And the 20th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read the verses responsibly. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God this evening? And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also wept and fell down before his face. They said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" The 20th verse is the text verse. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Let's pray. Father, this is, of course, a unique time of the week. Very special time. We thank you for the Sunday evening service. We're grateful for all that we've seen happen in this place through many, many Sunday evenings. And one has, in a sense, built upon another. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for the honest and straight preaching of thy word. And we thank you for our preacher who loves his people and who loves thy word and who loves thee. Bless tonight that it might be all that thou wouldst plan it to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You probably have never heard a stranger sermon than you're going to hear tonight. And you have heard some strange ones from this pulpit. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, "What have you done for me?" Not lately, but formerly. What have you done for me formerly? I do not think this will be a bombastic sermon unless I see you nodding. You will determine how bombastic the sermon is. But I want you to listen to me as I give you what I think all of us need. I need it, and I think you need it. And I'm going to give you some unusual statements tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, what I'm going to say tonight is something every Christian ought to understand and examine and consider. And I pray you to help me to say it in such a way that it will be used of the Holy Spirit to convict all of our hearts, to change all of our actions and attitudes in one area at least. Help me as I speak and our people as they hear. Amen. I'd like to thank God tonight for some people who've helped me in my ministry and who helped to build the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana.
As an illustration of all that I'm going to say, let me tell you a story. True story, of course. Two tall Jones. Those of you that are middle-aged or older and are football fans will immediately recognize the name Two Tall Jones. Two Tall Jones was a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys back in their heyday when Tom Landry, Roger Staubach, and others were playing for the Cowboys. Of course, his nickname was Too Tall because he was very, very tall. And that one year, he was the most valuable player in the Super Bowl when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl and the football championship. Too Tall Jones shocked the football world and the sports world one year by announcing that he was going to retire from the Dallas Cowboys and go into boxing. I'm talking about prize fighting. I'm talking about Joe Louis. I'm talking about Jack Dempsey. I'm talking about going to boxing. And he did go into boxing. For a year, he took off playing with the Cowboys. By the way, he was not a success in the boxing field, came back to the Cowboys. And I hope you enjoy my sports lecture tonight. But he came back to the Cowboys and had a good career after that. That one year he was off, he was a professional boxer. I was in a motel room one day, and as I've said so often, I think boxing ought to be outlawed. I'm against boxing. I think it's cruel. I think it's savage. But until they outlaw it, I'm going to watch everyone I can. So I was in a motel room in North Carolina, and Too Tall Jones was fighting. Well, I then was a great Dallas Cowboy fan, not too much anymore. But I was a great Dallas Cowboy fan, and so I was a fan of Too Tall Jones, so I wanted to see the boxing match. Six rounds, Too Tall Jones ended the fight on his back. The guy knocked him out. The referee stood up over Too Tall Jones to count him out. One, two, three. I can count higher than that. One, two, and three. And four, five, six, seven, eight, and somewhere about then the bell rang, and the fight was over. The referee came over and, with some help, and smelling salt or something, he got Too Tall Jones back to cohesion, and propped him up, and raised his hand as the winner of the fight. You never saw a winner so groggy in your life, and I imagine Too Tall Jones didn't know who won the fight for a few hours. But there he stood. It was a funny thing to see. The referee holding this guy up from falling on his face. He's almost unconscious, and the referee holds up his hand. Now, why? Because Too Tall Jones won the first five rounds. The last round he lost, and the fight ended with him on his back. But the honest truth is he won the fight because of the first five rounds. I'm going to call some names tonight. That'll get your attention. I'm going to call some names tonight. Nobody in this room will be have your name called. I don't think they will unless I decide to. First name I want to call is G.P. Wiggs. Now, the name G.P. Wiggs means nothing to most of you. G.P. Wiggs was a man who turned on me. He was chairman of my deacons in Garland, Texas. After I'd been there for a few years, he got upset about something in the church, and I wouldn't say he fought me. He just left the church. And if I'd seen him on the street, G.P. Wiggs probably would not have spoken to me, at least for some time, though before he passed away, a long time before he passed away, shortly after I left Garland, Texas, he and I got together and our friendship was restored. But I'm saying that G.P. Wiggs, the last thing, when I left Texas, he was my enemy. I'd like to praise him tonight. For you see, it was at the Westmoreland Heights Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, where I was preaching a revival meeting. Started on Monday night and preached through the next Sunday night. On Sunday morning, I walked out to preach, and I started preaching, and about three fellows out there, tall fellows, hollered, "Amen! Amen!" Well, the Westmoreland Heights Baptist Church was not known for its amens, and I was immediately curious as to who these three men were. One of those men was named G.P. Wiggs. G.P. Wiggs was a tall, very dignified looking man. At that time, he was 43 years of age. G.P. Wiggs came up with the other two men and said, Brother Hiles, our church, we have a little church, about 40 or 50 people in Garland, Texas. Somebody gave us your name, and we were wondering if you'd be interested in becoming our pastor. I did become pastor of that church, and G.P. Wiggs led the church to call me. He helped me and worked with me hand in hand to build the fastest growing church in the world at the time. Bus ministries had not been thought of in those days, and we had no bus ministry. But the church grew miraculously. And the honest truth is, I would not be here today were it not for G.P. Wiggs. Did you know Hiles Henderson College today were it not for G.P. Wiggs? I'm talking about a man that when I left the church, probably hated me. There'd be no Hammond Baptist Schools today were it not for G.P. Wiggs. You know, City Baptist Schools today, if it were not for G.P. Wiggs. No 35 pastor schools, and no 1,000 pastors and foreign missionaries around the world, had it not been for G.P. Wiggs. For I would not have been known had G.P. Wiggs not led the church in calling me. And that's the church that God blessed so much that this church heard about, as I've told you before. And from the growth of that church, I was invited to come and pastor this church. A million souls would not have been saved had it not been for G.P. Wiggs. He got angry and left our church. But I loved him and love his memory today for what he did for me formerly and not lately. We're strange people. Do you think I'm going to let a man work with me for five or six years and be the cause for me to go to a church, and because he gets mad at me, I'm going to get mad at him? Do you think I'm going to let one negative cause me to think ill of him when there are 1,000 positives that cause me to think positively of him? And yet that's the way we are. Somebody can be good to you for 10 years and do one thing that upsets you, and they're off your list of it. Not mine, brother. Not mine. I not only want to thank God for what you've done for me lately, I want to thank God for what you did for me formerly. Next man I'd like to exalt tonight, whom I'd like to thank God, his name Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson was chairman of the board of deacons when I came here. Lee Johnson did not see eye to eye. We dissolved all the committees. We had 22 committees. We had one committee, took five people, 7 days to put petunias on the Lord's Supper table. And we dissolved all the committees. Well, Lee Johnson was chairman of the deacon board, and he was in charge of all, and by the way, a good man. But he and I did not see eye to eye on church building. And because of that, though he did not fight me, he withdrew somehow. He didn't leave the church, he moved out of town, but withdrew from the place of leadership. And I had changed the church in a way that he did not agree. But wait a minute. The first letter I ever got from this church was from Lee Johnson. When I answered that letter and told him I was not interested in the church, he wrote me back. When I answered that letter and said I'm not interested in the church, he wrote me back. And for about 6 months, he kept writing and kept writing and kept writing and kept writing. Lee Johnson. He's done nothing for me lately, but did a lot for me formerly. It was Lee Johnson who came to, when I preached over in Chicago, he came to hear me preach and walked down the aisle and told me he was chairman of the pulpit committee and chairman of the deacon board of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And he kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And then when I came and candidated, he fought for my election, and I needed 75% of the votes. I got 78% of the votes. If Lee Johnson hadn't have fought for me, I wouldn't have got 75% of the votes. I would not have been pastor the last 40 years of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And tonight, I stand to salute Lee Johnson. We all owe him a great debt. We could not work together, but I loved him. And thank God for what he did for me formerly and not lately. I'd like to mention tonight, not by name, some people who through the years have turned against me. Let me give you an example. A man who turned against me. He was a deacon here. He guarded me as one of our security guards. Every Sunday morning he stood down here at the front after service and helped to protect me and walked back to my office with me and walked before we ever had a Howells Anderson College even. He guarded me. He was a deacon. For over 20 years he taught Sunday school here at First Baptist Church. He tithed literally tens of thousands of dollars through all those years. He helped in the starting of Howells Anderson College as a deacon. He helped in the starting of Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond Baptist Grade School, City Baptist High School, City Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, and worked side by side on the deacon board with me. He often reminded me of his love. He went soul winning every week. He left the church. He got upset over something. I do not recall what it was. But tonight, I'd like to thank God for him. For just as you owe a great debt to the Ray Boardways and to the others here who've been here all these years, you also owe a great debt to those who kept the doors open who no longer are here. They may be backslidden. They may be somewhere else in somebody else's church. But bless God, had it not been for them, you would not be here tonight. He left me. But I love him and thank God for what he did to me formerly, not lately. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're so wrapped up with ourselves. What is the last impression I had? What is the last thing you did for me? But the honest, simple truth is, I'm talking about this man right here. I could tell you 1,000 good things this man did for me and 1 bad thing, but since the bad thing was at the end, most folks would discount him, but I'm not going to do it. And that great host of people at one time sat here who got disenchanted with me, perhaps, and are somewhere else. I owe them a debt, and you owe them a debt, and I salute them and raise their hands in victory tonight. Let me call another name, a little more familiar to you, Owen Miller. Owen Miller was pastor of this church for 11 years before I came. He didn't know me. He was a very formal kind of a Yankee, and I was a very informal kind of a rebel. He had a northern accent, which is a speech impediment as far as I'm concerned. But he was a very formal. He preached in striped breeches and a scissor tail coat. The church had formal services. And by the way, I think if you'd ever seen, before he died, by the way, he became pleased with what's going on here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. But he never had the privilege of getting a higher education, which means living in the South. I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. Now, the truth is, Owen Miller was a good man. But he was American Baptist. I was independent. Understandably, when our church pulled out of the American Baptist Convention, he was pastor of First Baptist Church, Riverside, California. Understandably, he stood with the crowd that left because they were American Baptists, many of them, and likewise, he was American Baptist. He stood with him. He never caused me a bit of trouble as far personally, never criticized me as far as I know, never was unkind to me, but would not even come back to visit the church here. In fact, when the Meadow Lane Baptist Church started, as a result of, as an American Baptist church, and the people that pulled out of our church 39 years ago, Owen Miller came back and helped them organize that church. Yet, he built the office I occupy. He built the building where my office is. He fed the people that I assumed. Had there been no Owen Miller, there would not have been a Ray Boardway as far as what he is today in his church. I owe to Owen Miller a great debt of gratitude because of the great people he gave me who were taught loyalty and stood with me during the battle back 20 years ago. He gave me my secretary 35 years.
He gave me a group of the finest people in the world. Those people here tonight who were here 40 years ago this August when I became pastor, he got some of you folks saved. Now, he was not for me. By the way, once again, we had him back here on two occasions and honored him, gave him a brand new Buick car, gave him the keys to a brand new Buick car. As long as he lived, we sent a check, a little pension check. We still send a pension check to his wife every month. $200 a month goes to Mrs. Miller every month and has for probably 25 or 30 years. But Dr. Miller did not know me. He knew the other crowd. He was American Baptist. I was independent. So he helped organize people who were my enemies, but I loved him. And thank God for what he did for me formerly, not lately. I'm not going to join that crowd of people that only remembers the last incident. I'm not going to join that crowd of people or only remembers that one thing that offended them. I loved him. I love G.P. Wiggs. I love Lee Johnson. I love the people that have gone to other churches and don't go here anymore. Those who served sometimes 10 years, sometimes 15, sometimes 30 or 40 years, they served here and they gave their tithes and helped build these buildings and kept the doors open and they were part of the people that called me. I'm not going to rise up in criticism against them because they were used of God to help build this church. How about you? Can Ed Lapina help your young people grow up? Sacrifice, give his life for them, and help them and help them and help them, and then make one decision that you don't like, and you get upset with Ed Lapina? I ask you a question, what has he done for you formerly? Not lately, what has he done for you formerly? If he did make a mistake, and God knows he makes one every day, but no, if he did make a mistake, if it was an injustice that you think he made, good night, why don't you look back at all the justices that he gave, all the labor he gave, all the sacrifice he gave? Why judge a man on what he did to yesterday? Judge what he's done, the whole picture. His name was Ford. What a name. My name was Ford, I'd have it changed to Chevrolet. He was deacon chairman at Hillcrest Baptist Church, the church where Mrs. Howes and I grew up. Mrs. Howes well remembers Brother Ford. He was a legend at Hillcrest Baptist Church. The night that I was licensed to preach, he stood up, and somebody made the motion and seconded. They said in discussion, and the deacon chairman stood up. I said, boy, here I go. He said, before we vote on this young man, Jack Hiles, whom I know well, he said, I will not vote for him unless every member of this church promises tonight to pray for him every day. Everything a deacon chairman ought to be. What a wonderful man. But I took my stand with the Southern Baptist Convention and said, I'll not support your schools and your liberal professors. I'll not give a dime to a school that doesn't believe every word in this Bible is the word of God. And took my stand, and they gave me the choice, as I said this morning, I think. They gave me the choice of supporting institutions I couldn't support or being excommunicated from the Dallas Baptist Association. I took my stand, and the next day I got a call from Mr. Ford. Are you listening to me? Mr. Ford. Deacon Chairman. He said, Jack, I read the paper this morning. How that you have not been cooperative with the Southern Baptist Convention. He said, as long as I'm chairman of the deacons here, I promise you, you'll never speak again at Hillcrest Baptist Church. I couldn't believe it. All I did was what I thought was right. I was taught at my church to take a stand. I was taught to do what was right. I was taught character and honor and integrity. And now the deacon chairman says, you're not welcome. By the way, I just a few weeks before that, I had preached a one-week revival at my home church. No preacher boy had ever done that before. I was the preacher boy of Hillcrest Baptist Church.
That means I did not get one call from my pastor saying he was proud of me. I did not get one call from my Sunday school teachers whose names I've called again and again and again.
I got no word of encouragement from those, but they didn't understand. They did not understand the sin and worldliness in the Southern Baptist colleges. Nobody ever taught them. They were drinking liquor on the campus at Bitter University. That was a Southern Baptist school. Nobody ever taught them that the professor in Southwestern Seminary, in my presence, had said he believed the resurrection was a bunch of blindfolded spirits in a vacuum. Nobody, the lay people didn't know about that. And my church, if you please, was ashamed of me.
Yet I love them. They taught me. They trained me. They cared for me. They fed me when my mother and I were hungry.
You say, but Brother Hiles, what's the last thing happened? Last thing happened is I wasn't welcome there anymore. But I love them. I love the memory of my home church. Why? Because of what they did for me formerly.
Not lately. Some of you folks ought to pull down some barriers tonight.
They've been built because of one incident. One thing that you didn't like, or one thing that you or your child was missing. Your child can be treated properly in K-4, K-5, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, tenth grade. And for 10 years, or pardon me, 12 years, your child can be taught and trained and you're satisfied. Then one thing that you think's an injustice, and you say, what have you done for me lately? And you truck yourself off somewhere else. Why don't you look at the whole picture?
What did those stubborn parents do for you formerly?
Those parents that don't understand you now that you're a teenager, what did they do for you formerly? That wife that you're angry, and when you're angry, what did she do for you formerly? Did she give you a child or children? Did she enter the jaws of death and suffer for the pain that men never will understand? Did she do that for you formerly? What did your husband do for you formerly? What did your enemy do for you? That's one reason, bless God, and anybody that knows me knows this is true. I don't care who my bitterest enemy is. I promise you, I'll help him. I'll feed him. I'll encourage him. I'll come to his side if he needs me. Why? I'm not looking at one little thing that happened yesterday. I'm looking at the whole picture, and I look at it and say, bless God, they did something for me for years, and I'm not going to turn on them because they, what they did lately.
Someone can do 1,000 good things and one bad thing. But it's the last thing that upsets you, not the whole picture. I'm thinking about a family right now. They were in our church for years. And I'm not preaching against those people. I love those people. I'm defending them tonight and raising their hands in victory. Just as the referee raised the hand of Tupac Jones in victory. Though he had, the fight ended with him on his back on the canvas, what he had done formerly gave him the victory. And I stand tonight to raise high the hands of those who don't like me, who don't love me, and maybe even hate me, but for years they're part of this great church here. I stand to raise their hand in victory and say, okay, they may have lost the last round, but they won the first 5 rounds, and they won the fight. I can tell you, a family grew up in this church, young lady then. Fine lady.
faithful, loyal. One thing happened in Hammond Baptist High School. That couple didn't agree with that. Now, they didn't stop and think, all these many years, I agreed with this, 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 but now then I disagree, and that at this one thing that's the most recent and most visible, that at that one thing forfeit all those good things they got at Hammond Baptist School, and by the way, left the church. By the way, let me say this. I'm not criticizing them. I'm holding their hands in victory tonight, but I'm saying to you, how about you? Can one of the principals of our school do something and offend you and upset you after a lifetime, those same schools that trained your children? Have you emphasized a little bad over a lot of good? Have you emphasized years of former good over days of lately bad? I'm talking about what you think is bad. Have you looked at the entire picture or just the last few days? Have a few negatives lately overbalanced many things positive formerly? Has one seeming injustice caused you to forget a thousand justices? Could it be that you're wrong? I'm not asking you tonight to love me. I'm asking you to love those people that you're mad at. Those people you won't speak to. And by the way, that's as wicked as going to the picture show or the movie house or drinking beer. I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, to become the kind of Christian that looks at the entire picture and raises the hand of the person that won the fight, not the person how it ended the last round. To Tall Jones. Defensive end for the Cowboys. Turned to boxing. I saw him in a 6-round fight. I saw him win round one. And round two, and round three, and round four, and round five. I saw him knocked down with probably a lucky punch at the end, during round six, toward the end of it. I saw the referee count. I heard the bell ring. I saw them go over and do what they could to revive Tall Jones. I saw that man that at the end of the fight was on his back, unconscious. I saw them raise his hand in victory, and tonight I'd like for you to raise the hands in victory of people that you're offended at who for years did you good. Maybe the referee was a little better Christian than most of us. Maybe the churches who gave Tall Jones the victory, though he lost the last round and was on his back. Maybe he's a better Christians than we are. Tonight, I raise the hands of some people that you don't know, most of you, but a little handful will. I raise the hand of Gus Sams, who was on the board of trustees when I came, who made me as welcome as anybody. When our battle came, he felt like he should not stay. But Gus Sams, this church wouldn't have been here without people like Gus Sams. He lost the last round, but I raised his hand in victory tonight. I raised in hand the hand of Burl Applegate, a trustee when I came. Fred Cole. Russell Carnegie. Paul Boldebuck. Claude Crum, Vernon Anderson, who was the mayor of the city, Walter Kruger, Jack Califf, Harry Beamer, Lester Blythe, Guy Campbell, Al Gertz, Bill Foss, and many others still living who chose to go elsewhere or are not in church at all,
who kept the doors of this church open. And I am not going to be bitter toward a single one of them, because I would not be behind this pulpit had it not been for those people that kept the doors open. They've done nothing for me lately, but bless God, they did something for me formerly. None of these has done anything for me lately. I think of Harold Bordway on the board of trustees when I came. Good man. Praise Father. None of these has done anything for me lately. And many of those who died, died not caring for me at all. But they did a lot for me formerly. And we would not be here tonight without them. So I raise their hands in victory. Maybe they lost the last round, and I don't know that it may be they lost the last round, but they won round one, and round two, and round three, and round four. Now listen carefully, then I'll close. If people, many of these people tried to assassinate me, almost. At least one person in this group, not the names I call, but represented by them, set our house on fire, tried to one night. My life was threatened. I am not going to judge them on one phone call that threatened my life. Or one match that set a curtain afire in our garage. I'm going to look at the entire fight. And thank God, listen to me, thank God for those people that stayed for the stuff all through these years. Now, if I can do it, you can. I promise you I have more people to forgive than all the crowd here put together. What a piddling bunch of Christians we are. Our feelings about people are, what have you done for me lately? But I thank God for those who've done nothing for me lately, who did something for me formerly. How about you? Some of you folks, first place, need to listen to me while I'm preaching. The second place, some of you that don't go to movies and don't watch the soap operas and don't listen to rock music and don't smoke cigarettes and don't sip martinis and don't listen to watch the talk shows, some of you need to get right with God tonight as much as a fellow does who's been watching an R-rated movie. Because of something you have in your heart, because of something they did to you lately. Well, bless God, why don't you look at what they did for you formerly? Would you bow your heads, please?